And so, to bring us all back today, we've actually lived through a period where there was a brief resurgence of the ultra left post Occupy. And it very quickly liquidated. I'm literally writing an article about it. It very quickly liquidated to like neo-Kautskyism and then into like Bernie Sanders movement. And you saw that even with some communizers. And then, of course, you know, like the diehard sectarian ultra leftists are left communists. I'll quit losing the slur because no.
It was more like into Momentum UK and Labour Party, right? Because this happened as the Atlantic.
It was. I mean, so that's where you see like the people who picked up the Autonomous and end up in like
Novara Media and
Navarra Media ended up being like basically Corbynites. Or if you look at the trajectory around Fisher, which is like socialist post-Marxism into just Corbynism, into actually fairly pathetic defenses of Syriza before he leaves public life and then kills himself 2 years later. I mean, there really is a sense in which this workerism actually came from people who were defeated. And I think you even see it in Graeberism. Like Graeber's really into like the Zapatistas and strategic disinvestment. And I mean, if you actually look at what he's saying anarchism is possible if we just ignore the central government instead of try to overthrow it. That's part of his point about Occupy. To actually state his position. He didn't know much about the history of anarchism by his own admission.
It's a very Gen X position, though.
Well, but what happens to him? Well, by the time you get to Debt, you have him like transhistoricizing communism and capitalism as like selfish impulses that are always there and communal impulses that are always there. And we oscillate between the two because of boredom, blah, 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 blah. And you have him trying to work out how to jump from kinship models to the state. First thinking the kinship models kind of are the model for state, and he realizes there's a problem with that. Then he starts thinking about metapersons and symbolic kinship as an explanation for the state. He does that in Marshall Solons, and then you get this like weird, if you think it, they will come attitude you get in The Dawn of Everything. But one of the things that you can actually see in what he's arguing, and particularly his like anarchist NMT, is he's actually making even more concessions to them Chomsky to the bourgeois state without admitting it. Like this idea that we can use MMT and like evade the state space but create credit to build all these social movements, which is highly state dependent. And also if we just like remove the state from our lives through sacralization, if you read On Kings, this becomes very clear. The thing is, very few people read all of Graeber. They read the Graeber hits and they don't read all the so don't really get where he's coming from. So he sounds like on one hand I'm a Zapatista, on the other hand I'm actually getting on the same train as a lot of the people who are getting on the Bernie campaign, because MMT is seen as a way for that. It's a policy fix. It's a singular policy
as it would like debt strike.
And so it's like radical Fordism. Now, I point out that this is both class collaborationist in a way that historical anarchists and Marxists would not be happy with, but also it's really weird because you have people who are libertarian socialists advocating for the positive use of the most statist form of economics that exists. And I think a lot of people actually move after Graeber dies to get in pulled in the MMT world. They move from anarchist MMT or Bernie Sanders MMT to Stalinist MMT, which again is incoherent because that was not the Stalinist developmental policy at all. It was not about currency manipulation. But people start seeing the currency manipulation as possible if you have a strong Bonaparte state to intervene and smack down the capitalists, and you have the
Unity.
All this recent talk about sovereignty, yeah.
right, which then you see a lot of those people go right wing over time because sovereignty is usually a right wing issue.
Absolutely.
And what are we doing? It's a repeat of the 19th century, but as farce in subcultures. You know, and that's how you know we're dead. Like we've And if 2024, and I'm not telling people we're lost because I'm a defeatist who thinks we're gonna lose forever, but I think if you
defeat is a first step, is what you're saying.
But like, yeah, like I mean, to use what is often a vaguely racist metaphor, you don't want to be the lone imperial Japanese person on a goddamn island, fighting a war that has already been lost for three generations.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for coming around to this. You and I did not talk about this previously, but that's how I feel. That's why I said at the beginning, and I said to you before, like, I've seen enough. That's it. Like, a certain period is ending, and a certain type of politics is ending. A certain way of relating to the state and capital feels like it's run its course. All right. It's run its course in the United States, but it's run its course across
worldwide.
Schultz, okay? Olaf Scholz, right, is indicative of this as well. The German economy, Macron, the French economy, it shows that, like, you can smother capital with a blanket for decades, for generations. You know, you can do that. You can impose all these regulations upon it, but without actually abolishing it, without changing private property relations, without actually going full bore, stopping either, I wouldn't even say halfway, but like a quarter of the way there with your social democracy, with your state-run welfare state, with your attempt to regulate labor markets, your attempt to regulate capital, to move capital in directions politically. Society decides it's valuable to move them in. Eventually, that runs out of steam. And what MAGA is, on top of all the other things that it is, it is the social realization in an imminent fashion that this politics, that this long 20th century, going back all the way to the 1920s and the 1930s, has run its course. And it's run its course not for the capitalists per se. Like, it run its course in like 1946, 47 for the capitalists. They're ready to jettison this shit in the 1930s. But the working class has progressively given up on this, going back to the Reagan Revolution, going back to, of course, 2016 and 2024. The masses have given up. The working class has given up on this type of politics, all right? Politically, it's over. It's done. Economically, it's over. It's done. Socially, we are reaching so many endpoints right now. I'm not going to say that any of this is positive, because we don't want to imagine that we can do so much nationalism that we move into internationalism. We don't want to be like super Hegelian about this, but socially things have gotten so bad, so alienated, so atomized, right? Can you imagine going further down this path? No, something has to change. And we're watching it change in front of our eyes right now. Will it be better than it was before in the long 20th century? I don't think so. But will it be different? Yes. I don't want to be the last one either fighting. I don't want to be the last one defending the Democratic Party, progressivism, the administrative state as it's being dismantled and as every single one of my coworkers are cheering, watching it being torn apart and torn down. I'm not going to be the last one saying, well, you know, if Harris had won, she might have protected student loan debt forgiveness for such and such. Nobody gives a shit, man. That world is dying. It's dying. It's not dead yet, but it's going away.
And we never got it anyway. And actually, when they tried to impose it, it was administrative chaos.
And we were always dragged along to that position anyways. It was our liquidation into that position that led to our failures over the last 50 or 60 years to do anything to affect it. We've been dragged by our noses for 100 years almost through this morass of like state welfareism, semi-social democracy, democratic socialism, whatever you want to call it. It was never our program. We just acculturated ourselves to it and defended it as though it's our own, but it's not. It's the ruling classes. It's the Democratic Party's program, not our program. And its death is ultimately not our problem, not our fault. You don't have
first. And here's the other thing is, we don't know that the Democratic Party's going to die. We know it's going to mutate again. But if Corbynism was an indication, is what's going to replace it is going to be more anemic and more right wing than the brief attempt at flirtation with the left to revitalize the center.
It's going to be Reform UK. It's going to be Farage. It's not going to be fucking Boris Johnson. That's
right. Right. And it's going to be, I mean, here's the thing, it's Reform UK is also doomed.
Yeah, the UK is doomed.
Here's what I want to tell people. Your perception that things are declining is not wrong. Your perception that things are better anywhere else is probably wrong.
Except maybe China.
But I mean, like, you and I still have, we have not, China is seeing real problems from its overinvestment and like allowing, like, youth unemployment in China is still really bad. National investment in China is down. The Belt and Road Initiative is fucking dead.
Oh yeah.
If it wasn't, you wouldn't see this turn back to BRICS, which China doesn't control. Nobody's trying to form an alternative currency to the US, even if they're de-dollarizing. Nobody wants the responsibility. And they don't know how to do it. And we don't either.
Because the responsibility sucks. All of the crisis tendencies of capital have been piled upon the state in general, but the United States in particular. And so when the next crisis comes, and you can mark my words on this, it will come in the form of appearance of the crisis of the state and state finances. But that will be the crisis of capital that we've been all been waiting for. Not the final crisis. I'm not saying it's the final crisis, but you're starting to see that the crisis when it comes is going to be a crisis of the capitalist state, the United States.
So let's talk about one more thing we haven't talked about, and this would be a last point. Musk and and Trump sound like Trump endorsing Musk pushing back on that little like bill to refund the government, which they got through anyway. And then people calling Musk President Musk to fight Trump. And then Trump the next day saying we need to abolish the debt ceiling. Came out very next day. We need to abolish the debt ceiling.
Hey folks, Sean KB here. Just a reminder that our show relies on your support. So if you enjoy what we do and you want to hear more excellent bonus content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/theantifada. It's cheap, there's a ton of content, and it would mean everything to us. So thank you, and we'll see you behind the paywall.